Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Yung obsessed with a customer, in startup, it's a whole different level. As in, ito, kausap mo talaga sila. I mean, ito yung story eh. Noong Christmas, na-delay kami ng deliveries to our seller. Kami ni Bri, we went to her at 10 a.m. in Tondo. Just to say sorry, eto, paki-FC natin, kamusta po ba? Sige, hintayin po namin yung delivery. It gets to that level of being so involved with your customer that you're there with her or him, and you know them, diba? You know kung nakabili na sila na e-bike because of your because of Sari Suki. You know pag nag-quit na sila ng job at gagawin nila to full-time. You know na meron silang good review. So that obsession with the customer is 10,000 times sa startup.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning from wherever you are watching here in the Philippines and from all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. And in my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering and most interesting business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those same success secrets? How have they innovated? How have they pivoted their businesses during this pandemic? And more importantly, what business opportunities do they see emerging in the now normal? And how can they share those opportunities with us? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know and drop me a message. We are also live right now on Kumu, CBRC TV, Nova Pinas TV, and the Bounce Back Network. If you are enjoying this podcast and learning a lot from it, please do subscribe and invite more friends to listen to the RJ Ledesma Podcast. You can also catch us right now on YouTube tonight. Again, another very, very special two guests here tonight, co-founders of a company which I truly admire. I especially admire companies which were formed in the midst of this pandemic because they truly embody that wagey mentality that, you know, that in every crisis, there is an opportunity. And Sari Suki is one of these great businesses. So Sari Suki is made up of their founders, Brian Koo, who is the chief executive officer, and Bam Mejia, the chief commercial officer. Sari Suki is one of the fastest growing e-commerce grocery platforms here in the Philippines. If Brian's name sounds familiar, we'll find out again later on why. Now, Sari Suki started at the onset of this pandemic as the collective action of Pinoy community sellers who were consolidating and providing the needs of their neighborhoods, community group buying. I'm sure many of us were in a community group buying site one time or another, especially in the height of the ECQ. Now, they used technology that enabled grocery dealers to earn extra income through online selling and help customers to purchase their needs without having to risk their lives outside. More importantly, since its launch in May last year, Sari Suki continuously supplies local communities with daily essentials and fresh groceries at affordable prices, and has seen its gross merchandise value grow 36 times, 36x after 9 months. What an accomplishment. But that's not their only accomplishment. In March 2022, this year, regional and global investors witnessed this game-changer move and supported Sari Suki's expansion with a $10.7 million funding. So here to tell us more about their success story, please welcome my good friends, Brian Koo and Bam Mejia.
Hey, RJ.
Hello.
Hey.
Guys, so nice to see you. And you know what? Before we start here today, I'm particularly honored because I have to say to people, I have an instant connection with Brian. I've been an admirer of Brian for many, many years. Many years ago, I interviewed him for my talk show on One News, Bloomberg Philippines, on one of his startups. We'll talk about that in a bit, Brian. And we've kept in touch, of course, even when he was the head of Grab. We were still in touch at the same time. And Bam and I, we have an affiliation because we both belong to the same company. We were both what they would call very affectionately Proctoids. We both work for Procter & Gamble. And so there's a commonality across the years for us who've worked there. Of course, Bam, many years younger than I am, but at least we look almost the same age. Di ba, Bam?
A few lang.
A few years lang.
Not that many naman. I think baka 2 to 3 years lang tayo.
Buti na lang. Now, and then I understand that both of you guys very, graduates of Ateneo's Management Engineering Program, one of the most premier programs here in the Philippines. And I'm glad to see that, many ME graduates coming together and putting up companies to help grow the Philippines. Now, first big story coming out of this one, and this one I'm truly impressed by, is that you put up a company in the midst of the pandemic and you were able to raise $10.7 million also in the midst of this pandemic. At level one, you were still able to do that one. And for me, that's quite, that's quite impressive. And, I've worked with Brian in the past. Brian's done several startups in the past. You've raised money, but how does it feel different now for you, Brian? Are you just as ecstatic as you were in the past, or even more, raising money in Sarisuki?
It's a mix of emotions, RJ. It's, yes, we've worked with each other in the past. Our paths have crossed. But in all those times, I never considered myself an entrepreneur, just like you are an entrepreneur. You started Mercato, did lots of great things. But I was always sort of a builderpreneur, right? So, funds would come to me and say, let's build this. Let's venture build. Let's launch this. I'd say, yes. I never have to worry about raising money. I just have to worry about operations, building the team, making a great business. The difference with Sarisuki right now is that we started this from scratch, where I didn't have the backing that I had before. Grab, and Yes Credit, in the other companies. So we had to do everything from scratch, everything from raising capital to building the tech team. In Grab, I was very fortunate to have a very strong regional and tech team behind to support whatever we wanted to roll out in the Philippines, and the funding that came from the region, right, to support the growth plans for the country. But in Sarisuki, we had to start from scratch. So only now that I really consider myself a true entrepreneur. I don't want to just give, I give credit where credit's due, and I admire a lot of you guys who are really out there, who really put things on the line. Now I'm putting things on the line along with you guys. So, when we raised our first check of around $3 million, it was very humbling that a lot of the VCs after I left Grab were interested in what I was going to do next, and we're willing to take a bet on this particular model of e-commerce. So it was very humbling. We were able to show that there was good product market fit, grow the initial few months, and then went on to raise another round right after that. So I don't want to downplay how hard it is to fundraise, especially in today's environment. In last year, it was much easier, I would admit, for people with a bit of a brand name who's been around the block when it comes to startups. It was much easier last year. Cost of capital has been going up. So interest rates have been going up. Inflation has been going up. Public markets have tanked. Right after the pandemic, you saw a drop in the stock market, but then it bounced back right away. You're not seeing the same sort of V-shaped bounce back right now. So funds are a bit more careful in where they deploy. They have shareholders, partners to make sure they're happy also. So you're not seeing as crazy levels of valuation and as crazy levels of deployment of capital as you did last year. So we're very fortunate to have raised what we raised last year in anticipation of what's going to happen in the next few years. But the whole, everything else, the metrics, what people look for, what funds look for, have changed drastically over the last few months.
Wow. Well, I'm still congratulating you because, I mean, so you're even saying despite all those other obstacles and challenges, you were still able to raise good money for the startup behind the sound business model. But I have a question because, Brian, you're very used to this atmosphere of sort of like raising funds because you've been there. That's your atmosphere. Now, I'm going to turn over to Bam. And, you know, Bam is, for lack of a better word, Bam, and it's no insult to you, but traditional corporate, you don't have to worry about those things. Right? You're just worried about data analysis. You're worried about, you know, hitting your targets. But then all of a sudden, you're thrust into this atmosphere where you have to raise funds. How did it feel for you when you were going through the process together with Brian of doing all these things?
Well, for me, I think I've always had that entrepreneurial yearning, no? I mean, I've always seen myself as, you know, wanting something different. I think being in Procter & Gamble, I was in sales. So I was handling distributors. I always cared about their bottom lines, but now it really hits home. So you had a sense of what it could be, right? But probably that's 20%. Pero I think Brian is being very modest. I think, yeah, Brian's being very modest now. He has a full handle of it. Yes, he was a built-upreneur, but he's very natural in it, raising funds and even running businesses, right? You'd think that you'd know everything from a corporate standpoint, even if you handled bigger businesses. But I'm very fortunate, you know, that, you know, I have this guy a few meters away. He's just a few meters away. Pero, yeah, working with him, it's truly lucky. To be working with him and just trying to learn as you go along. I wouldn't advise this to anyone if you don't have, you know, trust in someone that knows what they're doing. And Brian's that. He's very humble. Sometimes lang yan. Sometimes humble.
Okay. But you were saying also as well, you may entrepreneur. Dapat may parang kasi ikaw, you came from a corporate background with an entrepreneurial spirit. To jump ship is medyo, it's a bit of a challenge for many people, I guess, to do that jump ship. So do you advise this perilous journey for everybody to also move from a corporate to an entrepreneurial background? Or depends on their
mindset. Advise it on three conditions. Number one, syempre, on the financial conditions. I mean, I'm a father of two very young children. Hello, shout out to my wife and my daughters. You know, you have to have rice reserves, no? I've worked for 17 years. You have rice reserves, you have investments and all of that. So financially, you have to put it all in play. That's one. Second, you have to do it with the right people. So there's no better person to run a business with than Brian here in the Philippines. And third, you have to do it for the right reasons. So what we're doing in Sarisuki, I mean, what we're doing here, we're trying to impact farmers. We're giving livelihood to other people. At the end of the day, diba, when I talk to my girls, I'm more proud of myself. Na, oy, daddy's doing this. Daddy's helping people directly, no? So those three things, look at your rice reserves, plan it out financially, worst case, best case. Second, do it with the right people. Third, the right reasons. And everything aligned. It was a lot of hard work because, as I told you, I was in Singapore, expat by day, community on border by night.
Entrepreneur at night, parang ganyan, diba? You were, may hustle ka, racket, day job and racket job at night, parang ganyan.
So it's not for the faint of heart, but I'm very fortunate for all those three things to align. And yeah, I thank my stars. I mean, it's still a journey today. But at the end, that number three, for the right reasons, is always the one that will drive you.
I agree with the right reasons. And going back to Brian, Brian, I know, you know, many people watch or listen to the podcast because they're also trying to learn, you know, how to make that right pitch to the investor, how to talk to them properly. But then if we were to tell them right now, the people listening, what was your investor elevator pitch for Sarisuki when they were coming? Because this time around you were going to them, right? You were going to them to tell them what Sarisuki was about.
You know, there's no one element that is right. There's multiple elements that need to jive together. So first, people look at, and again, we're talking about like startups that can scale, that can be potentially worth in the hundreds of millions of dollars, not in the billions of dollars. even in a single market. And that's a nice thing about the Philippines, where investors are now looking at the Philippines as a viable single country option, where you can have a Philippine business targeting the Filipino consumer and growing that into a really large business. And the ones that have come before us, like Kumu, Grocery, are very local-centered companies that have been able to raise significant capital. So that's the first thing, the addressable market that you're looking at. Is this product or system or software that you're building going to address a $10 million problem, a $100 million problem, a $1 billion problem, a multi-billion dollar problem? Right? What is it going to address? For us, grocery is a $100 billion market. Right? We're not saying we're going to get the whole $100 billion, but if groceries were only a $100 million market, it's too small for any investor to even look at, for them to come in and get those outsized returns. If you put yourself in the shoes of the investor, you need to also understand that they need to return a certain amount for their investors as well. So investors aren't the final say. Your investors have investors who probably also have investors, right? So it trickles down. There is always a margin to be made, and you need to be able to convince them that they can make that margin, because the market's large enough that you have understood the business model well enough, and then you've built the right team that can execute also. So you have those three things, and then everything else would be how well you package that together. But first and foremost is that what Bam said, his third point, you need to believe. You need to really love what it is you're doing. Because that will come out when you talk to someone about your business and you're not passionate about it, it will come out, right? So it's always a why. Why are you doing this? Why now? Why this? Why this market? Why you? That investors would ask. You need to be able to answer those questions. So there's no silver bullet in making the right pitch. You need to structure it with the right elements and then package it well together. Like you, RJ, if I talk to you about Mercato, you're very passionate about helping micro entrepreneurs, and it really comes out. It really comes out, just even a 5-minute discussion, I know how passionate you are about the space that you're in. So real entrepreneurs should be able to communicate, and you can't fake that, right? It's something that you need. That's why one thing that I tell people when they ask me, should I go into a business or this or that, or how do you find founders? Because we've helped venture build. I don't like founders, because I've been through that. I don't like founders where you give them an idea and say, let's launch this. That happened to me with a few of the other stuff that I've done. I wasn't really convinced or passionate about it. I just said, okay, this is a kind of neat problem that I wanna be part of and solve. But it wasn't something that I've been thinking over months and months and months. But like transport, I've been thinking about transport for years. So when Grab came along, I said, oh yeah, let's do this. For Sarisuki, I've been thinking about Agri for a few years already, even while in Grab. And then the whole community selling platform on why and how community leaders could benefit. I see it in my household because my wife was the first community leader. Even before Sarisuki started, she was selling foods to her friends, our neighbors, people that she knew on Viber. So if she could make money on that, and why not take that whole concept, replicate that, and allow any individual to participate in an economy or in an ecosystem where they could make an extra living? So it was embedded inside my brain. So inception ako for a few months before we started Sarisuki. So everything, that's the most important thing that an entrepreneur should have when they're pitching. The passion with what they're pitching.
Yeah. When you said that, this interesting thing, Bam, before I'm going to ask you to say something also, but you know what? I remember Brian very, very clearly back in the Agora Awards that was given by the Philippine, the Asia Leaders Awards. I think Asia CEO Awards. we were both there, and that's when I received my award for SME of the Year for Mercato Central. That was back in, I think, 2019.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to have a chance to work with Brian because I learned from Brian as well because there's so much entrepreneurial. It's true, eh, diba? If you're passionate about it, makikita ni ibang tao yan, eh. They're willing to bank on your passion. And yeah, bam, please add to what Brian said.
Yeah, I think the operative word is belief. You can't fake belief. So belief in what you're building and also belief in yourself. Grabe, I think that hit home for me as well. If you're going to jump, you really have to believe. And it will show if you don't believe in what you're doing and in yourself. There's a lot of layers that you're peeling on that self-belief that you go through this process. It's an everyday thing.
How would you describe, because I often tell people, you know, sometimes we talk, so, you know, when we say, oh, what's your elevator pitch, investor pitch, medyo, it's a bit difficult to appreciate. But bam, if I was to explain what the Sari Suki do for my 78-year-old dad, who is not that, you know, it doesn't understand quite clearly tech and startup industry. What is Sari Suki to him? How would he understand Sari Suki?
So, ano siya? Digital sari-sari store na pwede ka magbenta sa iyong mga neighbors. Walang puhunan, walang joining fee. Kikita ka, mura at magandang produkto para sa iyong mga kapitbahay.
So that's the simplest way to explain it to him.
That's a
and then,
way.
What does technology do?
There's a simpler way, but I need to mention another brand. It's basically.
You can't.
I will. RJ is a friend, though. So it's the Avon for groceries, basically.
It's the Avon for groceries. It's a digital Avon for groceries.
Got it. That's basically sometimes when they teach you startup pitches X for Y. It's the X of Y. Yeah. It's the Avon of groceries.
Correct.
It's a digital Avon for groceries.
Correct.
Okay. So for people who don't use Avon, paki explain for it, you know, how does it work? Walk me through
that. Ikala ko 76-year-old. Alam ni 76-year-old.
Baka dati ko the makeup. Okay? Baka yung, oh, no, makeup. Ano Avon? But how to explain how it works, basically. If they come on the site, what happens then if they are the buyer and if they're the community grocer? Parang ganyan.
Yeah, so let's put aside the buyer first. The central point here is the community leader. So the community leader signs up on Sari Suki and is now able to resell 4,000 different daily essential items to their communities and earn a margin from them. So that's essentially what it does. And that's where technology comes in. It's a platform that helps connect the suppliers and the end consumers via the community leader who uses the platform to manage the transactions across both sides.
Got it. So you're sort of, there is still, how do I put it? You're talking about the agri sector, and one of the biggest gaps in the agri sector is that there's a large play for the middleman. Actually, it's the farmer gets the least and the middleman gets gets the most. So in this model, we're able, because of the digitalization and speed to market from the grocer to the consumer, we're able to lower, I guess, the middleman costs. Brian, is that correct for me to say that?
Yeah. So
the friction cost is lower?
There's a few things that are broken with agriculture. And one of those is what you rightly pointed. So the middleman section is quite thick just because people don't have access to infrastructure, to tools, logistic systems. So if you can compress that and release margins, you can now move margins either as savings to the end user or as extra earning to the farmer. And of course, we need to take a bit to cover our costs, but it's a compression of the middle. That's one. Second is the agriculture process. 40% of produce is wasted across the chain. Imagine mo na lang, we are a tropical country. So if you have leafy vegetables out there in the sun, ano mangyayari? Nabubulok. It doesn't last. It's not fresh. But all the trucks that bring down the gulay from Baguio and up from Quezon, they're all in open trucks. So the supply chain is not built for our weather to get produce in a way that reduces wastage. that one is real value that you can create if you can fix that change. So, because it's immediate yield, this immediate yield increase. And it's not margin shifting. And then the third is if we can help improve yields at the farm level, right? Instead of them producing 10 tons in the certain acreage that they have, they can produce 15 tons just because of better water systems. It was funny. I was with someone from France recently, and she said, my parents work in a field. Like, we have farm. We have a farm. And I said, oh, your parents are farmers. Kasi ganun, farmers? Sabi niya, I don't know what that is. We don't have this. We have trees.
Nagpapalakol. Nagpapalakol dito.
Palakol, diba? So, that's the difference between Philippines and, I guess, you know, more developed countries. They're highly mechanized. Their yields are better. And the mechanization of them is possible because they till a larger farmland. So one of our dreams is to be able to work closer with farmers and do contract farming and large plots of land and help improve yield. So now if you imagine reducing the middleman margin, getting the farmers to earn more, passing on some savings, reducing wastage of 40%. Right, let's reduce that. And then increasing yield. There will be food for everyone at a cost that's affordable to everyone. That is the social good that we want to bring. And let our community leaders participate in that.
Fantastic. And I can see where the belief is coming in over here. Bam, before we go forward, can you please share with us again? So how can people now participate if they want to, whether as a the farmer side or from the client side, how can they come in right now and participate in the platform?
So there are three ways to participate. One is our Kasangga farmers. So if anyone out there, you know, has like access or produce that they want to sell through the platform, we're more than willing to bring you in, lalo na if it's direct to farm. So our Kasangga suppliers, our Kasangga farmers, the email is here. You can just reach out. That's one. Second, our Kasari community leaders. So all they need to do is to download the app. If you want to have your own negosyo, right, earn something, do something through the app, just download the Sarisuki CL app. It's in Android and iOS. And then there's just a process there of registration and onboarding, right? And then we'll put you in the platform. And third, if you want to buy, right, you can visit sarisuki.com. There's a button there on how to become a Kasuki buyer so that you can help your nearest community leader in your area. So three Ks, Kasangga, Kasari, and Kasuki. And doon namin nakuha yung name, Sarisuki.
I like that. So again, just to be clear, three ways. If you want, if you're a farmer who wants to join, you can join. You can go here, pr@sarisuki.com. Kung
yes,
you belong to a farming community or farmer. If you are the end user, you want to be able to access, go to sarisuki.com. Is that right?
Perfect. Yes.
And then the third one is the app. The app, you can go there if you are on either. You're either the farmer or the...
If gusto nyo mo magnegosyo, if you want to be a Kasari community leader and you want to be an online grocery selling all the produce, download the app. Sarisuki CL app.
CL app. Okay. And those are on all the major platforms where they can, all the major Play Stores. Okay, great.
Yes.
Now, I want to go back right now and talk about something a bit more interesting, if you don't mind. And actually, I want to go a bit more into your background. So, by the way, Eric Ronald Pagdanganan over here saying he's a huge fan of all of you. More power to you. Clark, can you put that up? Thanks so much, Eric, for listening. If you got questions for them, please do let us know. Thanks again for, and all those from Sarisuki listening to us here right now, especially the biggest fans of Brian and of Bam. Kung nakikinig yung mga asawa ninyo, pati manak ninyo, hello to both of them. Now, let me ask a bit more questions here, no? Especially because I want to go more a bit more into the entrepreneurial journey. And actually, this is the interesting story for me and for Brian. Oh, Abby Victorino, go Genie! Say hi also as well. Abby Victorino saying, congrats, Brian, great job. And let's collab daw, sabi niya. Yung mga taga Grocery Genie. I think you guys would make great collabs here right now. So Abby, please do get in touch with us over here. So Brian, the first time I met Brian, natatawa ako because the first time I met him, I interviewed him. I was, you know, and that was my first really foray to understanding startup. I think, Brian, if I'm not clear, I forget the startup that you, it was Loaning. It was your online credit app that you were doing maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And we were talking about the app. And I think the next day, nagsara yata yung startup, or even before the show came out, the startup closed down. So for me, wow, sabi ko, wow, this is a really volatile industry. How was that for you? Because, but I mean, after that one, you went into Grab. So tell me a bit more. I mean, how did that, you know, if people might think you've been successful all the way, but that's not the case. But even your non-successes are still, you know, still good for you in terms of growing as a buildpreneur, an entrepreneur. Take us back there a bit more. Tell me a bit more about that entrepreneurial experience for you.
Yeah. So that was Yes Credit.
Yes Credit. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. Memories. Yes Credit was the online lending platform. So it was ahead of its time. Now you see a lot of them, like Cashflow, you see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Akulaku, 24/7, RoboCash, just a ton of them. Some of them even became digital banks. So this was very, very early on, circa 2014, I think. So I started Grab here in the Philippines around 2012. I left for a bit, wanted to do a few other things. One of them was a baby site no one knows about, called Kudzly.
Kudzly, I know that.
And then right after that, did Yes Credit. So we wanted to help consumers get out of predatory lending ecosystems and offer them better rates, better credit scoring. Unfortunately, it was ahead of its time. It was a bit too early. You know? Philippines wasn't that hot of a market yet. The infrastructure, so credit scoring, the government, the national credit scoring system, it's not yet set up. I don't think it's set up until now. So that one was a bit tough in our ability to credit score and determine good borrowers from bad borrowers. So eventually, the investors pulled out and said, no, it's not the right market for us. They took care of everyone. So they were very, very good with how we wound down the company. Then eventually, after that, at the time, I said, you know, why don't I just figure out what Grab's doing again? Because it was, that time was around 2015, I'd say, when Grab was just transitioning from taxi to car. It was just about transitioning from taxi to car. We were at a massive disadvantage against Uber, who started with car. So I came in and started fixing up, like, reviving things. And the first thing I did was look for all the places where Uber acquires their drivers and put a Grab location right outside. The whole McDonald's versus Jollibee strategy. So then the rest is history. All up until 2020. And then now I'm writing my new history.
Yeah. What was the biggest lesson that you picked up from, I guess, from Yes Credit? I hope you don't mind, because so many people are thinking, siempre, Pinoy, di ba, bam? I mean, you're not supposed to fail, right? Or you fail, parang, oh, it's, you take it personally. But how do you appreciate failure? I mean, technically, Brian, di ba, closed down, so it might feel like it didn't work, right? How are you supposed to appreciate that as an entrepreneur or a buildpreneur?
So I think the default status of any startup or any business is failure. That's the default. So right now, we're still a failure. We haven't succeeded yet. Okay. Success will come once you're profitable. That is now my new determinant of success. It's not when you raise money. It's not when you IPO. It's when you're profitable and self-sustaining and you created such great product market fit that people are willing to use your service without you subsidizing them. That is success. What I learned from Yes Credit is building a team. So I've known how to build a scalable team. That one's easy because you just throw money at the problem. But with Yes Credit, we were a bit more thrifty. So we were very strategic in who we wanted to put on the team. So how to assess, how to look at talent, how to build a tech team, that initial tech team structure. Having a PM, having a scrum lead, a designer, and, you know, all of that. All of that because it was given to me in Zalora. It wasn't something that I had to build in-house. And also with Grab, right? Early days, late days, it was something that was given. Versus in Yes Credit, we had to build it ourselves. So that was a very good technical experience for me.
Great. Got that. Let me talk to Bam over here. Bam, I have a question for you now as somebody who came from a corporate background and went entrepreneurial. Did you always have that? You did say that entrepreneurial spirit over there, but how did you know that it was the right time to sort of jump ship and move over to with Brian? How did he also encourage you to come on board with him? I'm very interested to find that story out because coming from the corporate background, there's what they call the golden handcuffs, right? Like you're high up, you're so high up in the company already that it's hard to leave because of the benefits, because of the sueldo, you don't really want to leave, but then, so it stops you from becoming an entrepreneur. Can you tell me a bit more about your own background leading towards doing
sorry? I want to hear you version as a version.
Nabudo lang ako.
Sabihin ng Brian.
Nanonood rin yung mga asawa natin eh. So first of all, Brian and I have been friends since university. So tagal na yan, 20 plus years na yan. And yeah, there's always been that itch. We were, lahat ng mga things na sinasabi ni Brian kanina, yung Cudsley, yung Yes Credit and everything, he always involves me in the discussions. Okay. Even before. So,
he picks your brains, parang ganyan.
Oh, even yung Grab nga eh. We were doing some drawings on it and he's gonna launch it. So parang, it's very interesting for me. So there's always been that itch, no? Syempre, practical side. When I was with PNG, hindi mo na maluho. And yeah, we were able to, my wife and I were able to build some sort of savings with investments and everything. So that's something that has a cushion for me and may mga other things. So the practical side, we checked all the boxes. And then you always wanted more. You know? So I've always wanted more and I always wanted to do something. And you know, serendipitously, and then there was this opportunity that was, I think, right up my alley. So I was with sales for PNG, then trade marketing, and then regional stuff, brand stuff, and all of that. And this retail space, plus just the yearning to do something entrepreneurial and to make a difference, nandyan. And we were dabbling with it in a Brian. Maraming, there's a lot of permutations before what Sarisuki is today. I won't say the other permutations, no, Brian? Kasi baka sabihin gaya-gaya tayo eh. So keep natin yan dyan. Pero eventually, this blossomed into something. Tapos, I was in Singapore. And then, I was sent home na rin. And then parang everything was just falling into place. Na parang we prayed about it, my wife and I. Mukhang tama naman yung gagawin natin. And I always ask myself, what's the best thing that can happen in your current thing? And what's the worst thing that can happen when you jump? When I looked at those things, I mean, all signs pointed, I needed to do this. I needed to do it before I hit 40. No, so I'm very thankful that, you know, I have Brian there who's gone. Asan na si Brian? And then, pumunta ata siya sa akin eh. Kasi dito lang siya eh. And then, I'm very thankful for my wife. She's always been supporting me. Sharing my two children too. So, yeah, it's really serendipitous. But it has been a long, long thing going. No?
And then when you were there, so what was the, you said that there was a time that you were double hatting already. So did that mean that for you, there was a point you say, okay, I'm thinking of leaving, but I gotta stay here for a bit just to make sure the transition is well. Well, why were you doing? Why did you just jump in straight?
So it was tough. You had to think of the logistics of it all. That's one. Second is, you know, you're testing it out, doing this and that. There were certain markers that we needed to see from a personal point of view, from where the business is going. And then when we really saw that, okay, this, there's truly some product market fit. This checks all of the things and practically it can be something that can work out. Can, diba? It can. Let's do it. So, syempre, you have to do a side gig. Eh? I don't know about you, but you can't just go jump in straight. If I were a bachelor, no family and everything, I would jump in straight. Pero yeah, that's tough. I mean, that was super tough. Expat by day, corporate hanggang 6-7. Tapos at night, yun nga, we were doing this thing. No? And dami ng WhatsApp group and everything. But yeah, it was really testing. But until now, so sobrang 110,000% on the gas pa rin siya. But it's great because it's like being super unleashed. When I tell Brian this, you're super unleashed in what you do that you would never do in your corporate role. And I thought that I was the crazy one doing things in PNG. May crazier one pala. And it's that guy with the balbas on the screen.
Yeah, I can see that. I can feel that from over here. Brian, when you began this company, diba, I know that you were telling me a bit of the story that it was with your wife in the house that you were, you know, you developed it. Can you just help us? I mean, maybe I often tell people here, you start off with, you know, what pain point or what problem were you trying to solve? Or what did you see? So, what does it spark for you? Because you did say that earlier on you had been thinking about agriculture, even for many, many years. But it's really just in this pandemic and you saw what was happening to your wife. When you decided to act on it, what was that one thing that said to you, this is the best problem I can solve here right now? Because there must have been competing models on how to help agriculture in your head, but it sort of solidified when you saw what was happening in the midst of this pandemic.
Well, so the problem that we identified was one on the agriculture side, right? So I was thinking about a few models. One was a B2B type agriculture service, where we would supply input materials to farmers. That was one concept. The other concept was a simpler, you know, distribute, you know, expand the product selection of sari-sari stores, very B2B also. And then the third one was this community selling. And under community selling, there's a few different things. One was the Pinduoduo style. If people here are familiar with it. It's where instead of having a reseller, you create a buying group. It's kind of like Groupon on steroids. So you create a buying group whereby you can invite friends, and then you invite enough people, you get a discount. Everyone gets a discount. It's like going shopping together. We ended up settling on the reseller model because my wife in January started as a reseller of, not for Saisuki, but for her own stuff. She sells imported fruits, vegetables, imported fruits, steaks, you know, meats, seafood, and local chicken, right? She works with someone in Batangas farm that sells local native and black chicken. So I found that very interesting. And then at the same time, you know, a lot of the drivers were hit during the pandemic. So a lot of them lost their means of livelihood or their livelihood got reduced. So I spoke to them and said, you know, why don't we figure out a way to help them while you're driving in the day, your wife is selling, you know, throughout the day, and you become a dual income household. That was the first initial pitch. And it wasn't just about giving them a site that they could do it. We had to like procure the products, build out the supply chain, have control of the quality, we make it easy for them. So now they can just sign up. They don't have to put out any capital. We'll help support their initial start to the business. And all they have to do is leverage the social network. And I know the Grab driver, I speak to them a lot. I love those guys. They work so hard. And I know their culture. They like being on Viber groups, complaining about Grab, complaining about me. But I still love them. So they're all on Viber groups and you know all these Facebook groups. So I said, oh, that's super bagay because that's the kind of behavior that we want. So that's how we started it. And, you know, we started to grow from there. We saw that it was product market fit. And then we expanded both in terms of what we offer and in terms of the people we try to target for the service.
So when you first had that idea, Brian, okay, I don't know what to do. Many people are a bit, not clueless, but they're unsure as to, okay, I've got this great idea, but what's next? Number one, do I bootstrap it? Did you bootstrap it eventually to get things going? And where did you get the, you know, people say, how did you start developing the technology or the app that kind of puts your idea into action? Because people are, you know, at a loss sometimes when it comes to those type of things.
So you always need to start off, obviously, with an idea. With this is what I want the app to do. And then from there, it's like writing an essay, right? It's like writing a 500-word essay. You first write a 3,000-word essay and cut it down. So you always start out with the end state. So this is the most beautiful app that I can build. And then you talk to the developers, tell you it takes 3 years to build. You don't want that. You want something that you can roll out. So we rolled it out in
April.
A month with the app.
April, so March, yeah.
No, it didn't work half the time, but it didn't have all the nice bells and whistles. No, until now, it doesn't. It doesn't have like, it has maybe 40% of what we wanted to have. But if we just sit down and not do anything and develop for a year and not release anything, we'll never learn. Because some of the things that we wanted to have developed at the start, it's not on the roadmap anymore because we learn, we iterate. Right? So having shorter cycle times is very important. So the first thing, how do you start? Right? So you start out with a business idea. You figure out where tech can play a role. Don't overscope whatever you're trying to do in tech. Right? It needs to conduct the basic function. Figure out what else is out there. Right? You need to build your own delivery app or do you just use Grab? Do you need to build your own servers or just use Amazon or AWS? So figure out all these components and then start out with an MVP, a minimum viable product, something that's easy to build. You know, get it out in 2 months, as quick as 2 months, right? Unless, of course, you're building like deep tech, you know, AI, super, even AI though, but like deep tech stuff that would, medical, medyo kung medical field kayo, hindi pwede 2 months, but medyo years.
Pagka buhay na yung pinag-uusapan.
Pag 2 months. Pero kung consumer tech, you want quick, fast iterations, right? So, That would be how we started, right? Even now, we have 2 week sprints. We talk about what we want built. We rejig the roadmap. We reprioritize based on what we see is going on with the companies, going on with our stakeholders, and then adjust on that basis.
Yeah, and just to build on that, just put it out there to the target user, then hear what they have to say, then adjust. So that's one thing from the corporate side that it takes so long, right? Dito, just bring it out there, try it out, magkamali ka, it's okay. But you learn that, okay, it actually works. So bootstrapping actually works. So just put it out there.
Yeah. Actually, Brian, Bob, I want to ask you about that because like I said, we come from the same corporate background. And for there, parang, everything's got to be perfect the first time that you launch. You can't afford mistakes. You can't launch and then course correct on the way. Everything has to be fixed up already there. So it was sort of like a turnaround in mentality. But having said that, that was might have been a challenge at the start. But then when you came from your background and you're the chief commercial officer of Sarisuki, what do you think, what were you able to bring them on from your own background? You know, because we tell people nothing goes to waste, right? So what did you take them on that you were able to, I guess, add to Sarisuki also that complemented Brian's own background from the startup world?
I think one is rigor. You have that rigor of, you know, just putting things mildly in a structure, then go with it. Then Brian unleashes na sabi mo, okay na yan, just go. okay, let's go. Pero I think that's one thing. The rigor and the structure, to a certain extent, you have to quicken the pace. Pero it's very important that you have it. I think different lang naman with my corporate background is I was in sales. So I've seen handling the biggest distributors in the Philippines, handling the biggest brand in sales, handling different key customers. So that rigor, and you're not afraid to get your hands dirty just to go in the market. I think that's what it brings as well, that retail expertise. It's not really background, it's expertise. I was with P&G for 17 years. So when you know that this will work, that will not work. But bring all of that together, that structure, that expertise, shorten it and put it on steroids. Yun yung kailangan mo for a startup.
Got that. Now, having seen what the Sarisuki environment, Brian and Bam, no, what are you seeing right now? I guess, you know, there's so many areas to play in as a farmer, as a middleman, and maybe even as somebody who contributes to that ecosystem that you're developing. What are you seeing as a different, I guess, business opportunities in your ecosystem where entrepreneurs can still play? And obviously, people can be there as the community grows, and the people who consolidates orders. But what more can they do, pa? I mean, what do you see as other opportunities from a larger perspective in that ecosystem of yours?
I think we've barely touched yung sa supply chain. There's a lot of good that we can do when you put in technology and just try to transform that. We don't want to say disrupt, so we want to say transform. So that supply side has a lot of runway, and we've barely touched the surface. And that's what's exciting for us too.
And what specific in the supply side, what are the areas where they can play in? Is it bet more agriculture products? Are there particular, what are the gaps there where people can still come in and say, hey, this is a good opportunity for us?
Yeah, so just there's still a lot of, there's still thick middlemen or middle part in the supply chain. How you use technology to lessen that thickness and just put it either to the farmer or to the end consumer. There's a long way to go for that.
Got that. Brian, would you like to add to that? What do you see in the opportunities still emerging for many entrepreneurs to play in your ecosystem?
Yeah, you know, an emerging space in other markets is e-farming. I know it's been said many times, a lot of people have attempted to do it, but e-farming that allows producers to improve yields. So you have a few well-funded e-fishery companies in Indonesia. You know, we'd be happy to look at startups like that, see how we can help them. E-farming also, how do you use technology to help improve crop yield? You know, when do you fertilize, do you over-fertilize? When do you do cross-cropping, all of that. You know, just even basic education of farmers, even trying to work with farm schools offline with Senator Villar's program for farm schools, for example. You know, stuff like that would be very exciting for us, and we'd love to be able to work with people like that. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this, smallholder, you know, manufacturers, stuff that they find it difficult to get on Lazada or on supermarkets, they can work with us. The benefit of us, we have resellers. So if you give samples to our resellers, they like your product, they'll push your product, right? And their community, they have sort of a certain hold over the communities that they sell in. They can recommend, they can sell. Oh, mare, natry ko to kung ganito. Sobrang sarap niya. And then
with Marites.
Something that they can help push.
Brian, since your wife helped you sort of conceptualize this whole idea, or she gave you the spark, may equity ba siya sa Sarisuki?
She owns everything. I'm just an employee. I'm her build-a-printer now.
Gets. Now, guys, you know, I really love this conversation we're having so far. It's too bad we're coming to the sort of like the close of the show. But you know what? I appreciate so much the type of backgrounds that you both bring into this picture. And you've learned so much. First of all, Brian, we've learned so much from your own, you know, you're from Boston Consulting, and then you've been doing startup work. You help put up companies, you help close companies, you help build up Grab. And we're going to ask you just basically, and then Verbam naman, you came from a corporate background, 17 years. You've also built a lot of brands within the company. Do you mind sharing with us just a few, what if your life and business hacks for people? I mean, if you were the entrepreneurs out there that you're saying, okay, I want to help you guys out. Let me give you 3 tips so that you can, you know, fast track or hack your way towards building your business. What hacks would they be? Brian?
The one thing that I learned, it's been a while since I launched something, right? With Grab, we already had an established base. The one thing that I'm learning the hard way, a lot of things are, you can't take anything for granted. Number one, it's very important that you humble yourself to the market. You humble yourself to your stakeholders and customers. You can't rely on digital marketing. I mean, you can, it's going to cost you a lot. But if you want to scale fast, you can't rely on digital marketing solely, right? A lot of, especially in the Philippines, a lot of on how you go to market is still very tactical, still very on ground, hands-on, face-to-face, still very tactile, very visual type of market. So you want to build that kind of trust, you know, growth hack and growth your way to something bigger. Don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves and get your hands down in the mud. That's very, very, very important. And the people you hire need to understand that. Kung sinayin nyo, pumunta kayo sa kanto ng kalye para kumuha ng customers, talk to them one by one. Because that's the only way you're going to go from zero to one, you do that. Right? You don't rely on Facebook or Instagram. I mean, those are tools that can help, but do not rely on them. And then the last one that I say is, you know, whatever business you're in, you need to be in love with it. You need to be, you know, you need to remember, for those of you who've been in love, remember when you were first in love. It was more like an obsession rather than love. And obsession meaning you think about that person day and night, when you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're in the shower, when you're eating, everything. Lagi mo iniisip. And it's always, if you're not thinking about your business in that way, then sayang. Because you're gonna spend a lot of time on your business, more time than you spend with the person you really love. So
nako, mahirap na yan. Baka magselos yung, baka magalit yung ano, asawa mo niyan, Brian.
All the time, but that's the reality. Eh. It's a reality, and you're working for something.
Nag-uusapang pag-ibig na pala tayo dito, Brian.
No, you need to be up. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's no startup.
Yeah, you have to be obsessed. So just building on that, you have to be obsessed.
Yeah, so, what's tama si Brian. Yeah, I agree. So obsession is one for you. What are the other things?
Obsession
also for
is
you
one. I think the other one, and we say it in PNG, yung obsessed with a customer. In startup, it's a whole different level. As in, ito, kausap mo talaga sila. I mean, ito yung story eh. Noong Christmas, na-delay kami ng deliveries to our seller. Kami ni Bri, we went to her at 10 a.m. in Tondo. Just to say sorry. Ito, paki-MC natin. Kamusta po ba? Sige, hintayin po namin yung delivery. It gets to that level of being so involved with your... Being so involved... being so involved with your customer that you're there with her or him and you know them, di ba? You know kung nakabili na sila na e-bike because of your because of Sarisuki. You know pag nag-quit na sila ng job at gagawin nila to full-time. You know na meron silang good review. So that obsession with the customer is 10,000 times sa startup. And then third would be yung agree ako dun sa rolling up your sleeves and getting dirty, getting down and dirty talaga. Yun nga, you have to go there to the pinakaliblib na part just to understand how to serve your customers better. You do it here. I guess fortunate ako dun because in PNG, I started off in sales and I was one of the last batches. Binigyan ka ng truck, magbenta ka sa Tugigaraw for 6 months. Kung hindi ka regularized. So, ganun yung dadatnan ko in my corporate background. It's 10,000 times more here that you get your hands dirty. So, obsession, yes. You think of it every time and my kids say Sarisuki. So my two-year-old says Sarisuki already. Second, yun nga, yung consumer craze ka, consumer-centric ka, that's the second. And third, yeah, get your hands dirty to do the growth hack. And that sends a message to the organization for sure.
Got that. Okay, guys, thanks so much for joining me over here. For all those who are listening to the show, like Abby Victorino of Grocery Genie wants to collaborate together with you guys. And I'm sure so many other people want to collaborate also together with you after hearing your story. Like I said, no, I think Brian would agree with me. Nowadays, there's no more competition. It's puro co-optation, diba? You just work with people in that same ecosystem because there's so much space for all of us to grow. If you guys want to get in touch together with Brian and Bam, let's just show again their emails here right now, Strauss. I think that's bam@sarisuki.com. So again, if you're interested to collaborate with them right now, you can go to bam@sarisuki.com. If you want to be a community reseller or if you're a farmer, they also have their app online. You can find that on the Apple and the Google Play Stores. Just go there and look for Sarisuki. Tama ba ako? Sarisuki is on the Play Store. That's correct.
Sarisuki CL app.
Sarisuki CL app.
Yep.
Got it. And finally, if you guys want to buy from Sarisuki, please go to www.sarisuki.com. Brian, Bam, it's been such a great learning session for me here right now, and I guess for everybody listening. Thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully, we can have you guys back here again for more insights that we can learn from both of you as Sarisuki grows. And I'm sure this is going to be the first of many great startups that you are guys are going to be birthing out of Sarisuki. So again, this has been RJ Ledesma. I will see you guys in the next RJ Ledesma podcast. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, RJ. Thanks, everyone.
Right, Bam, stay around.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.